Good morning. How are you today?
I welcome you to this time to meditate God's Word. And I'm happy to be back and to see your face again, those that I haven't seen before, and as well those that I have seen before. And today, you know what is happening in the world. I would like that we can meditate those events at the light of the Scripture, because what is happening in around us are not things that are here just by chance. These are things that will take a lot of time to cover everything. Then I had to limit it myself to one area. And this area are the so many messages that are being sent around the world, and how this world is being or trying to be fixed by the hands of men. And we know where this is going to take us. That is why it's good that we know and we understand that man cannot fix this world. I would like, first of all, to come to the book of Galatians. In the book of Galatians, there is a scripture that Paul is telling us about these messages that going around, and as you can see, they are not new. In Galatians chapter 1, we start to read verse 6. And Paul say, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Okay, when he talk about a different gospel, are different news, or, okay, gospel is good news. And that is what many people in our days are trying to do, bringing us good news. By the way, you know what is today. Today is the day where G20 is meeting together. And one of the targets, they wanted to fix this world. And they have three things. They have the world, they had the people, and they had the prosperity. Because what happened, or what the Bible tell us when we hear messages of prosperity, is the same thing, the same messages of peace. Prosperity for this world, for the people, peace and security. Well, that is another gospel. That's another good news. And Paul is saying, look, I'm surprised you Galatians are so prone to turn from the news that we give to another one. Paul go ahead in verse 7 saying, which is really no gospel at all. We must remember, when we hear all this good news, that what the rulers of this world are going to do to make this world a better world, more prosperous world, and the people happy. Well, let's see what the scripture tell us. To begin with, do not be persuaded. That is not gospel at all, or not good news at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. This is the truth. This is the truth. They wanted to create confusion. I came with these thoughts, or the Lord gave me these thoughts. What we see today is a lot of Christophobia, Christphobia, the rejection about what the Lord, the Messiah, tell us. And that is where the confusion comes. They wanted to cover, they wanted to bury the message of Christ, and they wanted to flood us with all these ideas of how they are planning to fix this world. All right? Paul continued verse 8 say, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. See, it's important to recognize that we should not let any people, anybody, to create confusion by preaching a different gospel. When you read in the scripture, the Lord is saying that because of the sins of this world, the earth vomit its inhabitants. And that is what the people are not willing to accept. There is a direct association between the sin of the people with the event that take place in this world. I don't want to say, like Jesus said, when the event of the wall in Jerusalem fall upon 18 people and they were all killed. Jesus said, do you think these 18 persons that were killed by the wall, the fall on top of the, were more sinners than the rest of those that live in Jerusalem? No. In fact, all the rest, if they don't repent, they will perish as well. But in our world, they don't want it. The people don't want to associate the what I do has consequences, has an effect. It's easy to understand that if you are cutting stones, you may be injured by that action. If you continue cutting and cutting, one moment you are going to be, we understand that. If you are a carpenter, you are not surprised that one moment the hammer will strike your finger. We understand. I'm a carpenter. Those things are going to happen. Well, when we go to the spiritual realm, look like there is a resistance to believe that if I continue doing evil, at the end, evil is going to take its prize on me. I don't want to run ahead, because that is going to come later. We continued, verse 9. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. You see, this gives us a response, a responsibility. We need to know our gospel. We need to know what is the authentic good news, authentic gospel. We have to have that very fresh in our mind and heart. I don't want you go around learning all the false gospel, all those false good news that are going around, because that is a task you will never be able to finish. All what you need to do is to be sure of knowing what is the true one. And then, when the others appear, you only have to compare to the light of the right one, and you know, that is false. That is not truth. Let's concentrate and learning first the true gospel. In verse 10, he said, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? And this is a key question that we all have to answer. And you're going to see why it's so important, this question, because continue reading verse 10 says, or am I trying to please men? This is the danger when we try to please men. How we try to please men? Well, when we only wanted to talk what is politically correct or what is inclusive. You know, I have been surprised in this trip to discover that the last version of the Bible that we purchased is a version that is LGBTQ friendly. Now the translation has nothing to do with the original Aramaic, Greek, or whatever. Now it has to be politically correct. What kind of translation is that? A translation where you cannot use the word brothers, because that implies there is only masculine and not feminine. And every time they appear the word he, they suppress. It's not he. And many other examples. Oh, by the way, yeah, they take very care. I was reading in Psalm 37 when it's talking about the wicked man. Oh, because appear men there, they leave it because it's wicked. And we all know men are very weak, according to the philosophy of this group. But if they talk, and the Psalm 37 talk about the righteous men, no, that has to be suppressed. Righteous people, because people is inclusive, men and female and all the others. We have come to a point where we need to ask ourselves, to whom I'm trying to please? Because if I'm trying to please men, I must know this. And we finish the verse. I will not be a servant of Christ. You cannot serve men and serve Christ at the same time. And understand me what I mean by serving, pleasing in this case. We are here to please God. I was reading in one of the letters that I received that there is a church. I feel bad, I forgot the name of the place. In Spain, there is a church. They decide to have conference to speak about the family. Okay? Normal, right? Wrong. The group in that town, LGBTQ, oppose that the church will be talking and having open conference for the public to come to learn about the family. And they are threatening the church to take them to court if they go ahead, because there are law in this country that forbid to talk about family, because that is against this group. And they already have laws where they have their rights. This is where we are. That is why I saw this question. I mean, Paul faced it, and the apostle and the early church, exactly like we do today. To whom are we going to please? And we know if we choose to please God and say the thing, the gospel that he wants us to preach, we are going to have opposition. But nevertheless, the Lord said, do not be afraid when you are opposed or when you are rejected, because they did it to me first. All right. When we have clear that we are going, or we are here with only one purpose, and it's to please God, the way to do it is by preaching the true gospel, the true good news. How we know then? Well, if we come into 1 Corinthians 15, Paul is going to give us a few directions of how we can identify the true gospel. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 said, now brothers, this and the other Bible was removed. You cannot say brothers. Maybe you can say now fellowship, now friendly people, whatever. But don't you dare to say brother, because that is not inclusive language. I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you receive and on which you have taken your stand. All right, he's going to explain it. By this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. See, the true gospel is the gospel that is going to save you, because it brings you truth, and the truth will set you free, and the truth will put you in the sight of who? In the sight of the Lord. The Lord arguing or discussing with Pilate, he was saying, I have come for this very purpose, to testify of truth, and those that are in my sight are in the sight of truth. And Pilate said, what is true? That is what a lot of people are trying to create confusion too, as well. Arguing what is truth. Well, do we want it to know what is truth? Let's continue reading. And verse 3 says, for what I receive, I pass unto you as of first importance. The Christ died for our sin according to the scripture. This is the first stone of truth that the gospel proclaim. When I say first stone, if you want to say like Jesus, cornerstone, or describe it as you want it. But it's the admission. We have to admit that there is sin. Because that is something that today's world is trying to cut off. Because they are saying, in their gospel, they are saying there is no sin. And because there is no sin, there is no need for repentance. But here said that Jesus died for our sins according to the scripture. What is truth? What the scriptures tell us is true. And the scriptures tell us, Jesus put it in his own lips, and the Gospel of John say, I testify what the world does is evil. Okay? The sin in the world produce evil. And that, when we talk about the true gospel, has to include sin. And the reason why the Messiah has to come, to put an end to sin. All right? What give us the confidence that this is truth? The scriptures. At the end, the scripture is the seal that God has to make it authentic what he said. Because not only is someone who declared things, but later on time, he fulfilled to seal it. See, I said it, now I'm doing it. It was prophesied that Christ has to die. The scriptures say that. And the gospel is proclaiming this truth. The true gospel is proclaiming this truth. That what the scripture says is what happened. And that is our assurance. God put it his seal. It's not like our Spanish history. They are trying to change it right now. But you cannot change history. The event that happened, I mean, you can argue certain things of history and detail of how it happened. But you cannot deny the event that happened. You can believe it or you can deny it. But you cannot come now and say the bad guys now are the good guys and the good guys now are the bad guys. And we had to demolish those statues around the world because history... Oh, by the way, it's not just here in Spain. It's all around the world. They are trying to change history as if you can change history at will. But the point is that the scriptures are the seal of God because he said, I'm going to do it, and he did it. That's my trust, my confidence, my seal. All right, first, Christ died for the sins according to the scripture. He was buried. According to the scripture, he has to be buried. Yeah, now I will explain. Now, it would be nonsense if they would have left Jesus without burying. Normally, every person that dies, they go and bury because you don't leave it around. But, okay, we have the second truth of our gospel. Jesus was buried. And he was raised on the third day according to the scripture. That's the third stone of truth of the gospel. See, that's why it was so important that he was buried, because he has to rise on the third day, because that's what the scripture said, that he is going to rise after the third day. Now, the scripture of Paul continued telling to the Corinthian church in verse 5, and he appeared to Peter and then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 brothers at the same time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also. Okay, what Paul is saying, all these things, they happen according to the scripture. We have witnesses that the Son is still alive, like myself. Even though I learned this, he continues to say, I learned this from the mouth of other apostles, because I was persecuting the church, and I don't deserve to be called an apostle. Okay, but nevertheless, the Lord appeared to me as well, even if I was the last one. But you know what he is saying is that even though there were so many witnesses that could testify of this event, still he is saying the most important is the scripture, because the scripture said this is going to happen. They only testify of the fulfillment of the scripture. And that is going to be a help to us to understand that when the scripture is taking place in our generation, all where we are witnesses of what the scripture said they will happen. But the important is not if I can see it with my eye or not, because some of them already died and they can no longer testify. But the truth, that if the scripture says it takes place, that go beyond the eyewitnesses. It's much more important to know that if the scripture says, that is how it's going to happen. No matter how rare or strange or impossible may look in our days, but it's going to happen. Much more than all the eyewitnesses of the time. All right? This is how Paul says to the church that you can identify the true gospel. Has to be in according with the scripture. If the scripture didn't say, forget it. That is false. It's a gospel that has nothing to do with your salvation or the salvation of any soul. Because at the end, what is the gospel? Bringing you prosperity and the sense that your sin will be forgiven. It might bring you persecution, but that is part of preaching the true gospel. If we go to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, here we can see why the Lord Jesus put emphasis on the scripture more than the eyewitnesses. Let's read it first. We are in the chapter 18, Gospel of Luke, verse 31. Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophet about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He is recalled, Jesus is making the point, say, you are going to be witnesses. We are going to Jerusalem. You are going to witness what the scripture has been saying all this year. And what is this? Jesus go ahead by saying, he will be handed over to the Gentile. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and finally kill him. Okay? Jesus said, listen, don't be surprised when this thing happens. We know for other scriptures that he is going to be buried and he is going to rise on the third day. And this, when Jesus was confronted with, give us a sign if you are the Messiah. Well, he said the only sign is the sign of Jonah. Jonah was in the belly of the great fish 3 days and three nights. That is going to be my sign to you. I will be in the belly of the earth 3 days and three nights, and then I will rise up again. That is what give us gospel that we proclaim as truth, because it's supported by the scripture. But look, when we read verse 33, say, on the third day he will rise again. I mean 34. The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hiding from them, and they did not know what he was talking about. See, eyewitnesses, you can be there. You can be involved in the midst of how the scripture is being fulfilled. And that doesn't mean you are understanding what is happening. That is what happened today too. Because do not think that it was only in the days of Jesus when the scripture was being fulfilled. It's in our days too. The thing is, the great majority have no clue that that, or you might hear it in the news prime time or read it in the newspaper or whatever if you do. But to understand that that event has to do with fulfillment, prophetic fulfillment, is another thing. That is why it's so important that we can pray to the Lord for revelation. That our eyes will be open to see how the scripture is being fulfilled in our days. Because right now what we are dealing is what is the true gospel and how to know what identify the gospel that we preach, that we share, that we communicate, or the apostle send it to us and we communicate to the people. And we are saying there are these cornerstones of the thing that were declared by the scripture and they take place. When you come to the Gospel of John, chapter 11, we have the conversation that Jesus has with Mary and Martha. Remember, they lost their brother 4 days ago when this conversation took place. And in this conversation, in verse 25, Jesus talking to Martha, he said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he die. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe? That is what is the great thing of the gospel. It brings salvation. It brings life. No matter what is happening to you. If you are alive and die, doesn't matter. It will not change the truth. If you believe the gospel, if you are going to live, because what? Jesus is the resurrection. All what he did is dying for my sin that I can be forgiven if I repented and then enter into life, because he raised from the dead to give me an assurance that he can do that. I mean, the scripture can tell us that the Christ is going to be killed and buried and resurrected. But unless those things take place, I mean, it's so funny, we can say, or like the unbeliever said, only two parts of the gospel were fulfilled, but not the third part. Yes, he was condemned to death, he was humiliated, he was abused, he was flogged, he was all that, and finally he was killed, and he was buried. But then when we come to the third part, the resurrection part, oh no, how can be the scripture so right? No. The disciple came at night and steal the body, and that is why they say, but we know that the scripture is the scripture. And no one, no human being, no demon, no principality can chain the scripture. That is the greatness of the scripture. Then I can believe in the scripture because I know that the scripture are not a human origins. It's God doing God's plan. And he wanted to give you and me the opportunity to repent. But to do that, I need to admit that the Messiah died for my sin. What imply I'm confessing that I am a sinner. And I need to be forgiven. But in today's world, they are trying to say, oh, but there is no sin. Why I need to remember? Oh, you think that is a sin? Oh, that is for you, but not for me. Come on. You are going to be surprised what sin does to you. And that is what I wanted you to see this morning in the scripture. When you go to the Gospel of Luke in the chapter 24, like I said, it's so difficult to go through everything because there is so much material that I try to sum it up with this scripture. And Luke 24, verse 25, Jesus talking to his disciples. This is when Jesus was raised from the dead. And he was talking with two disciples on the way to Emmaus, and they were discouraged. Jesus said to them, verse 25, Jesus said to them, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all the prophet has spoken. Remember what we read in Galatians? Some are trying to bring you into confusion. It's to create this kind of hardness that you will be resistant to what the prophet says. But the Lord said, if you do that, you are a foolish man. Because the scripture are there to show us that we can trust, fully trust. When Jesus said, I am the one that's going to give you life. Just believe me. I'm not lying to you. He continues saying, in verse 26, did not the Christ has to suffer these things and then enter his glory? That means resurrected? Yes. Of course, he did that. That is your confidence. Not only it was done or written in the Word of God, but now Jesus is saying, I did it. Look at me. And in verse 27 says, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. You cannot go farther than Moses, because the first five books, they were written by Moses. I know you are going to be hearing today that no, Moses didn't write those books and many other things. But all that, remember what is the purpose behind? That you become foolish, hard, akin to believe what the prophet has said. Because when we read the plan and the Old Testament. When we read the New Testament, we read the fulfillment taking place. And there are things that has not been fulfilled yet. But I have the sweet confidence that exactly this thing has been fulfilled, the other two. Now, in this same chapter and verse 44, Jesus continued talking to the disciple. This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me and the law of Moses, the prophet, and the Psalm. All right? Everything. Not just a portion, everything. Then, this is an encouragement. Where are we now? We continue reading here. Verse 45. Then he opened their mind so they could understand the scripture. Remember when we read the first time Jesus talked to the disciple? What happened? Jesus said, we are going to Jerusalem. These things are going to happen to me. They are going to kill me. But I'm going to raise from the dead. And the disciple had no clue. But now, this is after the resurrection. And the Lord says that he opened the mind of the disciple that they could understand the scripture. Our mind has been opened. If we listen what the Spirit is saying to the church, the revelation is free for everyone who desire. And what is this revelation? Look at this. In verse 46, he told them, this is what is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sin will be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. You are witness of these things. This is where we are now. The true gospel has been preaching from the time of Paul, from the time of Peter, the disciple, the early church, and continue to our days. But why is happening all this confusion in our days and so many other gospels are coming? I have to announce, I believe, is coming the end of the time for the Gentile. And this is important to understand. There is a time set for the true gospel to be preached. And the true gospel is implied the sin is a reality and the message is come to repent it. Repent of that lifestyle. What are we hearing today? You don't have to repent because there is no sin. You just, if you feel like, do it. Doesn't matter. It's only we live in a society of feelings. And feelings has been exalted to the supreme stage. Everything is in feelings. Nothing has to do with what the scripture says. The scriptures say to me that the pay for sin is death. That is why Christ has to come to die for the sin, to overcome death and swallow death and victory. All right? But that is the true gospel. That is what we need to continue for these few more hours preaching to this world, that if you don't repent, you will perish. You will die. I was looking into hearing all these ways the people of this world has for how to make this world better. And they say, well, you know, one way to do it is recycling. You have to get all the plastic from the ocean, from the earth, and we had to clean, recycle, reuse. There were so many words they are using. I forgot most of them now. They start with the word R. And I say to myself, but they are forgetting the most important one. It's the word repentance. You want to fix this world? Repent. You will see how quickly is fixed. But no, we are not going to talk about sin because sin doesn't exist. Nevertheless, in Psalm 22, and I had to be limited here. See, how can I start talking about Moses, the prophet, and the song to show what the scripture says about the Messiah and the true gospel and how things are being fulfilled? But let's take it Psalm, and I'm going to, because other way, I will have no time for the second part. But I wanted to really help you to think how they are trying to twist God's truth into a lie. But they are not going, they are not being successful. You can do that. It's impossible for the word of God to be changed. Or, you know, it's so funny. They knew about the scripture, unbelievers of Jesus' time. They knew about the scripture. And they knew that Jesus openly said, I'm going to rise from the dead at the third day. Well, they tried to prevent that to happen. And that is why they sent the soldiers to the tomb. Custodians, the tomb, all right? Because that way, if the soldiers are there, Jesus cannot rise because they are not going to allow him to open the door, that rock that was in the tomb. I mean, we laugh about their action to prevent God's word to be fulfilled because it's so inefficient. It's like, I can imagine, you know, this asteroid that sometimes fall on the earth. This week I was looking into this Spanish town. I forgot the name. But they are claiming back the asteroid that many years ago fall in this town. And they only allow them to have a plaque with the date when that happened. But the rock has been in different museums and different places for investigation and so on and so forth. But to me, trying to put soldiers on the tomb is like if you try to fight this asteroid that is falling on Earth with balloons. You throw balloons to the asteroid to stop it from falling. It's stupid. No, it's not going to happen. But nevertheless, look with me, Psalm 22. I will go fast. This is what Jesus is feeling and when he is on the cross. You know, the apostles only revealed to us the thing, what they could see they were doing. But the song, the prophetic word, tell us things that are not possible for the eyewitnesses. But it's so beautiful because everything that is written here took place. We are talking about 1,000 years later, more or less. Okay, look at the truth of the scripture. We are going to start verse 6. And imagine when you hear this, there is with Jesus on the cross and what is going in his heart. Say, but I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insult, shaking their head. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delight in him. You remember when Jesus was on the cross, the soldiers and others were mocking at him and said, hey, if you are even one of the thieves, they were crucified with him, asked him, oh, if you are the Christ, why don't you set yourself free and free us as well? Oh, you trust God? See, no, even God wants you. Because he don't come to rescue you. And all these mocking and these insults, Jesus has to hear it. But the scripture tell us, I came to die because of the sins of the world. I didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world. We continue reading Psalm 22, what we'll say about him. Verse 9, yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast upon you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Remember the angels say to Mary, he is going to be called the Son of Man, and he is going to be called the King of... He was set apart from his mother's womb. And it's the calling and the reason why Jesus came. We continue in verse 12. Many bulls surround me. A strong bull of Basan circled me. Roaring lion, tearing their prey, opened their mouth wide against me. I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart was torn to wax. It has melted away within me. My strength is dried up as a potter, and my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. What we are reading here or learning here is the agony of a man that is dying. That is what we are seeing in Jesus on the cross. He is lacking strength after carrying all that heavy piece of wood to be crucified. All his bones were out of place, and remember they put another man to carry the rest of the way. Other way they thought this guy is not going to reach there, but okay, that's what they thought. All right, I didn't say that that is what is going to happen, but you can see the agony of Christ on the cross and how he talked about this bull of Basan and lion, roaring lion. And verse 16 says, thou hast around me a band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. We see they wanted to accelerate the death of those on the cross because there were three people there crucified, and they start breaking the legs of the two thieves. But when they arrived to Jesus, he was already dead, and that is why he said, I can count all my bones, because no one was broken. In fact, it's the John who wrote the Gospel of John who said about the Psalm 34:20, and which say, my bones were not broken. Okay? When John is giving the event that take place as an eyewitness, okay, he could recall that Jesus' bones are not going to be broken. John also recall when the soldier get one spear and punch it into his side, and he said, this is what Zechariah the prophet says, we are going to look the one that was pierced and all these things, you know. But it's what the prophet, is what the psalm, what Moses said about the Messiah, and everything took place. Verse 18 continues saying, they divide my garment among them and cast lot for my clothing. We know the soldier did this You know, the tunic was so precious because it was waved with no sewing, just one piece, and they were so sorry to tear it into four pieces that they cast lot about who of them will get that piece of cloth. But everything was being done because the scripture was written about these things. That's the important thing. The gospel that you and I preach is because what the scripture tell that happened. And it happened. John 19, this is where what I mentioned to you about the Psalm 34:20. And John 19:36 says, "This thing happened so that the scripture will be fulfilled. No one of his bones will be broken." And as another scripture say, they will look on the one they have pierced. Okay, this is Psalm 34 and this is Zechariah. Okay? All right. Now, I would like quickly to change, because this is what was written about the Messiah. But we are talking about what happened in our time, in our days. And I would like Psalm 1, verse 1, to start quickly and read a few of the scripture. Let's see if we can do it. But in Psalm 1, it says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of wicked, or stand in the way of sinner, or sit at the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the stream of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf doesn't know wither. Whatever he does prosper. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, no sinner in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watch over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." What are we seeing here? We are seeing the difference between one person that repent, confess there's a sinner, and say, "I'm in trouble. Lord, can you help me?" And the Lord said, "Yes, I will forgive you." And you had the other person described as the wicked. There is a person that has not repented, a person that deny the sin exists, and that you can do anything without any consequences. And we see it's not true, because the Lord says the wicked will not stand in the judgment. And I understand this as one that will be able to be saved in that moment. You will fall when the judgment comes upon you if your sin has not been forgiven by the blood of Jesus and washed away. You will not be able to stand. But if you has accepted Jesus, when you come to judgment, the blood of Jesus is the only thing that's going to be seen that day. The blood of Jesus has pardoned all your sin. You can stand in judgment. But no sinner in the assembly of the righteous one. You know, this when they say that all the ways lead you to wrong, doesn't matter. Well, I'm sorry, not all the ways are going to lead you to the assembly of the righteous. If you have not repented, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will perish. And this is what the Psalm says. Now, can you imagine if everything that was written about Jesus took place? What do you think of these things that are written about the wicked? If God the Father did that and his own Son when he was dying for the sins of the people, do you think the wicked, the proud man, is going to escape? In fact, this is not my idea. I read it in Jeremiah, because Jeremiah has a beautiful prophecy. The Lord said, "Jeremiah, go and tell the nations, I start to bring judgment upon the city that bear my name, upon Jerusalem. Go and tell the other city." Do you think that you do the same thing, you are going to escape? You will not. You are not going to escape. That is what is happening today, because the time of the Gentiles are coming to an end. What you are going to see is the wicked perish, and you are going to be the witness. I wanted to talk about Psalm 34 because I already mentioned to you the 20, but I wanted you to also read with me the 21st, because they are together. Psalm 34 and verse 20, He protects all his bones. No one of them will be broken. This is about Jesus. Now, 21st. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord will redeem his servants. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in him. Again, what we are saying is, if these things were done to Jesus, and he has to go through because the Psalm and the prophet says, how much more the wicked. And what is said? Evil will slay the wicked. It's so interesting because these people, they are denying the sin exists. Their own evil is going to destroy themselves. Their own sword they are using to chase you, to persecute you, that very sword is going to kill themselves. And that is what I wanted you to be aware, because that is where we are entering now in this time. Because I don't want the church to think, oh, it was prophesied so much about the difficult for the end time. There are going to be difficult times. Yes, it's true. It's going to be difficult time. But the Lord said, the Lord redeemed his servants. You are going to be redeemed. You are going to be the witness of how the wicked has been slain by their own wickedness. You are not the one that are going to perish. That is what they said. And that's what they plan. Oh, you preach about conference about the family? I'm going to take you to court. Well, fine, you can take me to court. You know what? The Lord said I will be taken to court before kings and governors. Don't worry about how to defend yourself when you are there, because you are not there to be defending yourself of their accusation. You are being there to give them testimony of the true gospel. You have to repent if you wanted to live. If not, your own wickedness will slay you. Another Psalm 36, I'm going to read one verse. This is 12. Psalm 36, 12 says, see how the evildoer lie fallen, thrown down, not able to rise. I know, if you talk to them, they think they had the pen by the handle. They are in control of the situation. But I do not walk what I see with my eyes. I walk by what the scripture tell me in the Psalm. The scripture tell me the evildoer lie fallen, thrown down, not able to rise. They will not. They will not be able to rise. Only Jesus rise from the dead. But the one that do not repent will not be able to rise. And finally, 94. This is the last one. 94 is a beautiful psalm of great encouragement, because the prophecy say, oh Lord, this is verse 1. Oh Lord, the God who avenge, oh God who avenge, shine for. Remember, it's the Lord who said, do not take vengeance in your own, because mine is the vengeance, I will repay. All right? This is what the Lord said. You be still. Don't hesitate, whatever they do to you, if they accuse you falsely or if they do even worse thing than that. Rise up, O judge of the earth. Pay back to the proud what they deserve. When I read the proud, I have no more than thinking what they start from the proud gay day, then pride gay weekend. And now we are the pride gay month, because they are increasing more. Their pride is increasing and increasing because they are not ashamed of their sins. And they just wanted to proclaim it. They are very proud. This week I saw in the news a declaration of this man. And I feel sorry for him, because he is a hero in football. And he made the declaration that I'm a football player, but I am a gay. And it has been horrible to be living my life hiding it, and no longer anymore I wanted to hide. And he came public this week. All right? Now, look at the psychology behind the sentence when they present it to public. This is in prime time national TV, okay? If you think there is no an agenda behind, you go and ask for time, prime time, to preach the gospel and see how much time they give you. Nevertheless, but they say, I'm football player. Okay. You know why? Because you didn't choose to be a carpenter. You choose to be a football player. That is what you are, what you choose. Continue the phrase and said, but I also I'm a gay. The same logic. Why are you a gay? Because you choose. It was your choice. You choose to be a gay because you didn't choose to be a man as you are. But don't associate it both the, well, I can help myself to be a football player. I'm sorry. I was born to be a football player. What? You were born to be a football player? No. You choose. And when you choose, you pay the consequences. You choose to be a football player and you are good. You have become a millionaire. Yeah. Your bank account has grown incredible. But you choose to be a gay and sing, you will perish. Like all the wicked men. All right? But I say this? No. Some say this. The wicked will fall to no race. And the proud will receive back what they deserve. Verse 3 says, how long will the wicked, O Lord, how long will the wicked be jubilant? Of course, right now their bank account are filling with money. They don't know what to do with so much. They are having a party. But, all right, how long? How long is that going to last? That's what the Psalms say. Verse 4 say, they pour out arrogant words. All the evildoers are full of boasting. They cross your people, O Lord. They oppress your inheritance. Yeah, they oppress us because they don't want to hear that they have to repent. Oh, we have law in this country that if you talk of repentance, you can be charged with homophobia. No, I'm sorry. I feel pity because of your choice. I don't have any hatred against you. I'm here presenting the gospel that can save your life if you admit you are a sinner and repent. But if you deny proudly that you are a sinner, then the fulfillment of what the Psalms say will come upon you. And you cannot avoid that. That is what is the great reality. No one can avoid the fulfillment. Now look at verse 6. This psalm is amazing. They slay the widow and the alien. They murder the fatherless. When I read this, I thought, what is a fatherless? Yeah, somebody who lost their father. Okay, well, that is a big disgrace. My father was a fatherless baby. He never met his father because his father died before he has the chance to meet. But there, in our society today, there are many fatherless, not because they lost their father, but because the father do not want to assume responsibility about that baby. They are babies without father just because the father said, oh, I'm sorry, girl. I don't want to know anything about that. You were so fooled to get with a baby. Now it's your problem, not mine. And what is what the scriptures say? They murder babies. What is this? If no other than abortions. Yeah, because this is the new gospel of our society. There is no sin. You can shed blood. In fact, I would like one day to make a video in which I was reading in the scripture and the Lord said to Cain, yes, Cain, where is your brother Abel? I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Well, let me tell you, the blood of your brother is crying out to me from the earth who receive it from your hands when you kill him. Then the video, the idea is God is speaking to the woman. Woman, where is your baby? I don't know. Am I my baby's keeper? Don't you know, woman, that the blood of your baby is crying out to me from the earth? They receive it from your hand because you consented that blood was shed. And now you are under a curse. Cain was under a curse. And the curse is coming upon the woman. And not only the woman that going through an abortion, but the one that promoted abortion. Well, we have here this. I have planned to read it all. But I over my time, and I just wanted to read a couple more verses, and then we can finish here. And for me, I'm going to jump to verse 20. It said, can a corrupt throne be allied with you, one that bring on misery by its decrees? Now think about it. What is this? Let's change some words here. Can a corrupt parliament be allied with you? One that brings misery by its decree, by its law. It's not just here in Spain where the parliament is ruling laws. They are not according to righteousness, but they are unjust laws. But okay, they are law. They are going to protect different groups. And we are talking about abortion. Well, we have a law in this country that protect the criminals, not those that shed blood. And the Lord said, is these people going to be alive with me? They are doing these things? I'm sorry. No, they can't. And in verse 21, they say, they band together against the righteous. Of course they band together. They say, we are majority. You are in the minority. You are only one that speak against abortion. But we are majority in this parliament. Then we are going to approve the law. Or, I mean, I don't want to pick an abortion. It can be euthanasia. It can be any law that they are passing in our days. They are band together against the righteous and condemn the innocent to death. Yeah, we already said it. They condemn the innocent. They condemn these babies to death. Or the elderly with the euthanasia law. They're innocent. They don't want it to die, but okay. Then what are we saying? We are saying that we are going to be witnesses like we were, or the early church was witness of what Jesus suffered. And at the end, enter glory by the resurrection from the dead. And this is where we are today. We are going to see the end of this society, the end of the wicked. And the great thing is that even though it might be difficult times, we are going to be saved of this wicked and perverse generation. Because the Lord knows how to protect His people. His church. We say this many times, the gates of hell is not going to prevail against the church. Then brother and sister, I encourage you to remember that when you read these passages on the book of Moses, on the prophets, on Psalm, everything is going to be fulfilled. Then lift up your head and don't be afraid, no matter what they call you. If they call you a negationist, or if they call you other things worse than that. But remember, you have the gospel that is the true one. Let's continue presenting to the people the need for repentance, because it's the only gospel that can give life. The Lord bless you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you and I bless you because you are so good to us by allowing us to see that the way of the wicked will not prosper. You give them first the chance to repent, and the time of the Gentile are coming to an end. This is the end. This is the time for you to establish your kingdom here. Father, thank you. Thank you that you find no pleasure in the death of the wicked. You rather the wicked to repent and grant them life. In Jesus' name, amen.